This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report. Mrs. Schlafly is a constitutional attorney, pro-family leader, and author of 20 books, including Feminist Fantasies. And now the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Have you heard of Common Core Standards, the new plan being adopted in public schools across America? It's a plan for a national standard to be imposed that will decide what American kids learn and what they will not learn. Parents are really upset about this plan. Nationalized education standards should be unconstitutional under the 10th Amendment, which limits federal influence over the states. The General Educational Provisions Act, a federal law, prohibits any department, agency, officer, or employee of the United States from exercising any direction, supervision, or control over the curriculum, program of instruction, administration, or personnel of any educational institution, school, or school system, or over the selection of library resources, textbooks, or other printed or published instructional materials by any educational institution or school system. Close quote. Now that sounds pretty strong from federal law, a law specifically enacted to severely limit federal control of education. The new Common Core standards do limit local control of education. They are copyrighted and owned by private organizations. Federal dictates assure that 85% of academic standards in reading and math will strictly adhere to Common Core standards, leaving only 15% of the standards eligible to be altered by a local district. For example, Common Core does not teach cursive writing, and if a local school wants to teach it anyway, instead of keyboarding mandated by Common Core, cursive writing would likely use up the entire allowed 15%. Now, we're always being told to get advice from other countries, so how about taking some advice from our neighbor, Canada? Canada has no national standards. All standards are adopted locally, and Canada does not even have a National Department of Education.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Eagle Forum. Can we send you the latest edition of the Education Reporter? Just write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 and read about what's working and what isn't in schools across the country and in your community. Write Eagle Forum Radio, Alton, Illinois, 62002 or go online to eagleforum.org. Join us again next time for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Stop these annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Are you prepared? Are you ready? You should be. CampingSurvival.com is your source for camping supplies, survival gear, and survival food. Whether you are an emergency preparedness-minded individual interested in MRE, a hardcore hiker in need of paracord, a water filter system and fire piston, or you just need a basic first aid kit or emergency kit for the family, CampingSurvival.com is the right place. Call CampingSurvival.com today, toll-free at 800-537-1339. CampingSurvival.com. It's not about the end of the world. It's not about surviving a hypothetical plane crash. It's about the satisfaction you get knowing you can take care of yourself and or your family in any situation, anytime, anywhere. Visit CampingSurvival.com now and receive 5% off any purchase with the code FREEDOM. CampingSurvival.com.
Extend your life with Extend. My name is Don Wiskin. I had a massive heart attack at 42. The doctors could do nothing but send me home with disability as my future. I reversed the damage done to my heart with a natural remedy. I am now 58 and contribute my good health today to Extendivite. You have heard my messages for many years. A lot of people have taken Extendivite and improved their health issues. We are surrounded by fast food, toxic air, and chemicals that our body cannot eliminate. As we age, they can age us faster. Clean yourself out with Extendivite, available in capsule or liquid form. Get a 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. You can live a longer, healthier life just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Our guest today is Dr. Colin A. Ross. He is the founder and president of the Colin A. Ross Institute for Psychological Trauma. He is the author of numerous books, including Bluebird, Deliberate Creation of Multiple Personality by Psychiatrist. It is now issued under the name CIA Doctors. He also wrote Trauma Model Therapy, also Structural Disassociation, and The Rape of Eve, and The Great Psychiatry Scam. You've been very, very busy sharing your knowledge with the rest of us.
I try.
We're grateful for that.
Well, let me carry on with my knowledge about Jonestown and Patty Hearst for a little bit here.
Yes,
it just gets, the more it goes on, the more convoluted it gets. So, like everybody else, I was aware of Jonestown, and I saw some news about it, and I knew that the People's Temple was based in Ukiah, California, which is north of San Francisco, and then I knew that they moved to the jungles of South America. I just kind of went, okay, well, they moved to the jungles of South America. I didn't give it a second thought until I start reading some background literature. I go, well, wait a minute. If you're a guy who's not particularly connected to anybody, and you're just a kind of regular American, and you've got a temple slash cult, and you decide to move everybody to South America, how do you choose the location? And how do you find the location, and how do you do all the engineering, and how do you build an airport? So it turns out, of course, that the site of Jonestown in South America was previously a CIA training site for Green Beret guerrillas for operations in Angola. And the buildings are all, and the airport were already all in place. And a lot of the advance work on preparing the site for the Jonestown people to move down there was done by a guy who was a British intelligence arms dealer character. And so now we've got Leo Ryan, who's corresponding with the CIA, inquiring about Donald DeFries and inquiring about mind control programs at Vacaville at the same time as Donald DeFries is there. We've got the CIA deputy director writing back to say, yes, there's experiments with the drug Pemoline. And Vacaville State Prison, in fact, was a CIA mind control site under MK Search, which followed on after MK Ultra. And then we've got Leo Ryan going down to inspect Jonestown at the same time that he's pushing legislation to get complete congressional oversight of all of the CIA's budget. And lo and behold, he's murdered at the airport.
Wow.
So all these things are so tied together in this convoluted fashion. And then when Patty Hearst was still in captivity with the Symbionese Liberation Army, the People's Temple, Jim Jones, ran a food donation operation and were pleading for the release of Patty Hearst. And the food donation operation was co-funded by William Randolph Hearst. But in this book, it describes how Jim Jones basically set up a bunch of food distribution centers to the homeless people, because the SLA had demanded that the horrible capitalist William Randolph Hearst donate money to the poor, because they're supporting the poor and the people. But lo and behold, the People's Temple actually ran the food relief program, and they circulated People's Temple members and homeless people off the streets through the food centers over and over and over and over, so that they distributed like four or five times as much food as they actually had to purchase, because the same food was being recirculated over and over. And therefore, William Randolph Hearst paid them like four or five times too much, and they made a substantial profit off of the scam that was run by the Symbionese Liberation Army, that was trained by Colston Westbrook, who worked for military intelligence, which then takes us to Jonestown, People's Temple being connected to the CIA through the training site. So it's all this complicated web of connections. And then we've got Stephen Weed walking around on the People's Temple in Ukiah with Jim Jones 3 months before the Patty Hearst kidnapping. It's some kind of convoluted operation.
Oh, indeed.
And in the middle of all that, we've got Patty Hearst, who's the Manchurian candidate. And we've got Manchurian candidate CIA MKUltra contractors as her defense experts. So how weird a story is that?
Amazing. And so you could probably imagine, okay, how did Stephen Weed kind of get into her life? What did,
exactly,
how did that occur?
Right.
Was it a setup? Did somebody introduce them? You have to think of all the circumstances,
mm-hmm.
and when you think of that, you think, well, this is certainly a deliberate operation. And then what was the purpose of the operation to begin with?
Well, according to this book, this book called was Jonestown, a CIA Medical Experiment, there's a large part of it that's very carefully documented, and then part of the book's a little kind of out there, iffy, stretching beyond the facts. So it's hard to evaluate exactly how solid all the information is. But the two core allegations are, first of all, many of the people were shot. They didn't die from committing suicide. And when you see the photos, you see all the bodies very nicely lined up, which looks a little suspicious. But the other core allegation of the book is that every night, everybody in the People's Temple had to line up to get a special cookie that they would eat. And supposedly the cookies contained either placebo or a drug. And the purpose of the drug experiment was to see whether the drug would augment the willingness to commit mass suicide better than placebo. Whether it would augment, the mind control conditioning that was going on in the cult. Because no matter how you look at it, obviously all those people were completely mind controlled and brainwashed into either committing suicide or getting shot.
And of course, do you think that it started with their religious affiliation with a cult to begin with?
That was just the recruitment technique.
Okay, so they recruited all of these people, and do you think that religious affiliation or instruction or something could have an element of mind control to it?
I think everything in life could have an element of mind control to it, including, teenage guy trying to get a girl to have sex with him. I mean, everything in life has a certain element of mind control, or advertising, on network TV has a mind control aspect in a sense. But when you look at the CIA mind control programs, who are the victims that they identify in the declassified documents? Well, surprisingly enough, it wasn't the children of U.S. senators, and it wasn't the children of CEOs of Fortune 500 companies. The people that they went after were incarcerated sex offenders, incarcerated drug addicts, terminal cancer patients, unwitting civilians, psychiatric patients. So it's all people who are, easy to exploit, easy to destroy their credibility, more down and out, more downtrodden, less politically powerful, less able to do anything about it. And so you could go in through a religious group where there's control of the population. You could go in through the military where there's control of the population, prison, anywhere where you can get access to people that you can control.
Okay. Now, Patty Hearst doesn't fall under any of those categories that you just mentioned, why would they use her? Why would they involve her in this?
That's one aspect of it I haven't figured out. I mean, but the elements are Jim Jones had a big beef against the San Francisco newspaper that was owned and operated by William Randolph Hearst because they were running exposés on the people's temple. So there was heat was on there. Plus, there's a lot of bribery potential with the Hearst family.
Sure. All righty, we are going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
John Stadtmiller here. Sometimes in life, you get lucky. Well, today is your lucky day. Our sponsor, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com, have just announced their biggest savings yet on their one-month food supply by Linden Farms. This great one-month pack includes over 360 servings based on 2,000 calories per day. While supplies last, you'll get one free month of long-term emergency food entrees when you buy three. This is a massive savings of $600 on a four-month supply. Again, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com is giving you buy 3 months, get an additional 1 month of food free. This is a great deal. Act fast. The site, again, is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com or call them directly at 818-720-0759. 818-720-0759. Let them know John sent you. Do it today. AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Veteran-owned and operated.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Colin A. Ross. He is the author of Bluebird, Deliberate Creation of Multiple Personality, by psychiatrists. It is reissued as CIA Doctors. I think everyone will want to read this book. Now, you said that that politicians and the children of politicians or corporate moguls usually weren't involved in this kind of thing. And you also indicated that somebody that maybe is a cancer patient or dying would also participate. Would that include Jack Ruby?
I've got a couple of other things I want to say about William Randolph Hearst before we get into Jack Ruby, if you don't mind. But it all ties back together. And you were asking why would they target Patty Hearst, and I said, well, the People's Temple had a grudge against William Randolph Hearst because of the very critical articles, exposé-type articles, about the People's Temple being published in Hearst's newspaper. But I also think, now this is just me speculating, I think, okay, why would they target Patty Hearst? Well, probably they were actually targeting William Randolph Hearst. And so why would they target him? Well, there's the newspaper thing. But I always think that when somebody gets targeted, they must have violated some rule of the Old Boys Club in the background. And examples of that are, why did we take out Saddam Hussein? Well, mass destruction weapons, we know that was bogus. Participation in 9/11, we know that was all bogus. So those weren't the real reasons. So when you watch Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11 movie, there's a video clip there of Donald Rumsfeld shaking hands with Saddam Hussein to close an arms deal because we were arming Saddam Hussein to fight against Iran. So we know that he was an ally and asset like a decade prior to us invading his country. And so I think that Saddam Hussein must have gotten too big for his britches or pulled some kind of stunt or angered somebody, and therefore we turned against him and took him out. Same with Noriega.
There's another side to that story, that they were shaking hands. It wasn't because they were sealing the deal for some kind of chemical weapons, but Saddam Hussein actually said no thank you.
That could be what pissed them off, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I always assume there's some sort of backstory, and we don't just...
Sure.
There's all these dictators all over the planet. I don't think the ones we target are random. And same with Noriega. I assume he got too big for his britches concerning drug running or something. And
sure.
So we invaded his country, took him out. And the same with bin Laden, who was clearly an asset. And we funded the Mujahideen at the tune of billions of dollars while the Russians were in Afghanistan.
Right.
And then something went sour. And then we had to take him out and discredit him. So I assume there's something like that.
He died of kidney failure in December of 2001, as reported on Fox News on December 26, 2001.
Right. So whether he died from a SEAL Team 6 raid or whether he died from kidney failure, both of which I say are possible,
sure,
we definitely turned him into the bad guy. There's no question
right.
about that.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, for sure.
And he was previously... you know, basically a contractor of ours fighting against the Russians in Afghanistan.
Exactly.
So something went wrong in that relationship somewhere.
So how does that tie back to Patty Hearst?
Well, I just figure there's got to be some backstory about
okay.
what the
okay.
grudge was against William Randolph Hearst, but I don't know what
sure.
it was.
Yeah, that would be interesting to know because he, I mean, he participated in a lot of yellow journalism.
Mm.
And so we think, well, he's really supporting the government in this particular operation. So what happened?
Yeah, exactly. To which I don't have the answer.
Sure. Well, we want you to have all the answers, though.
I'll get back to you next week when I've got them.
Okay. So what about Jack Ruby? He died of cancer.
Yeah. So there's a... this is unverified, but suspicion, you know, you can find on the internet in the Coates conspiracy literature that he was actually injected with cancer cells by this well-known psychiatrist, Louis Jolyon West, who was an MKUltra contractor. And Louis Jolyon West was also brought in to interview the Oklahoma City bomber immediately after his arrest. And so... you got to sort of backtrack to, okay, so in Dallas, Texas, the president gets shot by Lee Harvey Oswald. This is the story we've been told. And then a couple days later, Jack Ruby comes in. Now, we know for sure Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald. There's no question about that. And then we set aside all the mafia connections and all the other things. One article I read was documenting how Lee Harvey Oswald and Officer Tippett knew each other before Oswald killed him on the day of the assassination. So this, and Ruby obviously has Chicago mob ties and so on. But the CIA top secret cleared psychiatrist who's involved in the Manchurian Candidate programs, Jolly West, who also killed an elephant at Oklahoma City Zoo with a dose of LSD when he was chairman of psychiatry there.
Oh, that's terrible.
No, it's, this is not like just funny intellectual games that these guys are playing. And so at the time that Louis Jolin West is called in to interview Jack Ruby, he's now chairman of psychiatry at UCLA. But just imagine, okay, so we're the local police department, and the president's been killed in our watch. Now Lee Harvey Oswald's been killed on our watch. Now we've arrested Jack Ruby, and we want a psychiatrist to check him over. Just by random chance, we get a psychiatrist from Los Angeles who just happens to be a top-secret MKUltra contractor. Unbelievable. And then what is Jack Ruby's conclusion? He concludes that Jack... What is Louis Jolin and West's conclusion? He concludes that Jack Ruby shot Oswald while having an epileptic seizure, which is a completely ridiculous, obvious cover story. So that looks to me like Jack Ruby was very carefully controlled after the fact. And a CIA mind control contractor psychiatrist was brought in to create a bogus cover story to explain things, which covered up any kind of conspiracy element by Ruby, which is part of covering up any conspiracy element by Oswald. So here's an interesting fact about Lee Harvey Oswald. Lee Harvey Oswald worked at the Riley Coffee Company in the early 1960s, prior to the Kennedy shooting. And his alias was Alex Heidel. In the early 1950s, 53 or 4, I forget the exact year, Frank Olson jumped out of a hotel window in New York City to his death, according to the public story. And his family thought it was a suicide, until in 1975, in the Rockefeller report about CIA mind control operations, they read a description that matched the apparent suicide of father, deceased husband, Frank Olson. And so they approached the CIA and the government, and eventually were awarded compensation by the President of the United States, because the whole backstory was that Frank Olson was a chemical warfare expert at Fort Detrick, was involved in MKOMI, MKUltra, other mind control programs, and was taken to a retreat in not far from the CIA headquarters by Sidney Gottlieb, who was the director of MKUltra, who slipped him a dose of LSD hidden in Cointreau liqueur. Subsequent to this, Frank Olson went on a bad trip. Instead of being brought to a psychiatrist, he was brought to Richard Lashbrook, who is an immunologist, who is a CIA contractor for, quote, psychiatric care. And then, because he was despondent for some unknown reason, he committed suicide. I'll finish the story when we get back.
Wow. Okay. This is so exciting. We'll be right back in about 4 minutes.
Do you love America? Do you support the right to bear arms? Do you have an opinion on the current immigration issue? Do you believe in the dollar? You have a voice. You have an opinion. Let it be heard. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com right now and make your voice count. Do you like your rights taken away for the so-called sake of public safety? Do you want to repeal Obamacare? Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today and fight back. All you have to do is fill out a short survey and you're done. Simple, easy, fast. For your time, you get entered to win free gold and silver. That's right. Get gold and silver free by filling out this short survey that enters you to win. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Go to AmericanFreedomSurvey.com today. That's AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with Hawthorne, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam and Super Male Plex, colon enhancer, our top-selling liquid, Cal Mag Vitamin D, MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay. All the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley. An area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species. All gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Colin A. Ross. He is the author of Bluebird, Deliberate Creation of Multiple Personality by Psychiatrist. It is issued under the new name CIA Doctors. It is available at Amazon. You know what I really like about this book is the charts in the appendix. You talk about the funding fronts for CIA, mind control, and research. I love all the document stuff.
Oh, yeah, I put those in just to really, because seeing is believing.
Oh,
when
absolutely.
You see the documents, you go, hey, this is real. This is not just this guy claiming this.
Yeah, the document section is fabulous. I just love it. Just love
Thanks.
It.
Well, I want to come back to, so now that I've got your listeners thoroughly confused, so you asked me a question about Jack Ruby, and somehow I got into the Frank Olson suicide. So let me just retrace the steps and then tie it all together. So Jack Ruby kills Lee Harvey Oswald. An MK Ultra mind control contractor cleared at top secret comes and interviews Jack Ruby and says he did that while having a seizure, which then gets rid of any conspiracy theory about Ruby, which helps get rid of any conspiracy theory about Lee Harvey Oswald. But Oswald worked at the Riley Coffee Company in New Orleans in the early 60s before the assassination, and his alias was Alex Heidel. Frank Olson, who worked on MKUltra, MK Naomi, LSD chemical weapons experiments while posted at Fort Detrick, was dosed with LSD by Sidney Gottlieb without his knowing, Sidney Gottlieb being the head of MKUltra, and then supposedly he became despondent and committed suicide by jumping out of a window. But in a book called A Terrible Mistake by H.P. Alborelli, which was very thoroughly documented, he makes a very, very solid case for, it wasn't a suicide, it was a murder. And Frank Olson was pushed out of the 10th floor window because he was threatening to become a whistleblower about LSD and chemical weapons, mind control experimentation by the CIA, including spraying a village in southern France called Pont Saint-Esprit, and doing a cover story of it was contamination from a fungus in the bread. So the motive to kill him was he was going to become a whistleblower. The man who pushed him out of the window was Pierre Lafitte, who's a well-documented criminal, gunrunner, guy for hire. Pierre Lafitte worked at the Riley Coffee Company in New Orleans in the early 1960s, and one of his aliases had the last name Heidel.
Wow.
So you got to follow all these circles around and around and around and around and around. So how could this possibly be a coincidence that the guy who pushed Frank Olson out of the window had the same last name for one of his aliases as the guy who shot Kennedy? It's not, can't be a coincidence. It's impossible.
No.
And they both worked at the same coffee company in New Orleans in the same time frame.
Oh my goodness.
So this is kind of the research I did of following all these steps and all these connections around and around and around and around.
Indeed. All right. We do have a question, an email question. This is from Joe, and he said, how about John Lennon? Was he used in creating a drug, mindless music, and anti-war counterculture? Was Yoko his handler? Their lifestyle seemed too nutty to be real. What are your thoughts?
Good question. There's a nice documentary film called The United States versus John Lennon that's worth reading. And then we get into Mark David Chapman, who's the man who shot John Lennon, who in a biography of him very clearly has multiple personality disorder, with a controller guy inside named Robert and a whole internal world and so on. So there's a whole story about Mark David Chapman, which is kind of suspicious. But it looks to me like it could be either way. But the odds to me are leaning towards John Lennon was more of a threat to J. Edgar Hoover and the establishment because of, you know, peace and love and radical ideas and helping people not like the Vietnam War or not like the next war, the next war, the next war. And so he was seen as a kind of security threat. They tried to have him kicked out of the United States, but since John Lennon had some money, he could hire a lawyer and was able to defend himself successfully against that. So prior to the effort to kick him out of the country, he'd been having sit-ins and preaching peace and love and getting the young people not to follow the lockstep of the Nazis, so to speak. So it looks to me like he probably was killed because he was a threat to the establishment, not because he was a pawn of the establishment. And then that leads to the question of whether Mark David Chapman was controlled or handled, which to me is an open question, but there's not really much evidence that I have. There's less evidence supporting Mark David Chapman being controlled than there is Sirhan Sirhan. And then less evidence for Sirhan Sirhan than there is for Lee Harvey Oswald, I would say.
All righty. We do have some callers lining up. Why don't we take a phone call or two? Let's take Joel in Illinois.
Okay, thank you. I would like to ask a non-controversial question about the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay, here's my problem with the MMPI. I've taken the MMPI on any number of occasions, and the investigator, the guy who tests me, he always winks at me, and he says, there's a conflict going on in your subconscious. And he says that, the tone of his voice is as if to indicate that I really want to be a little girl, that I wish I had girly parts. Now, here's what I think. What I think is that mathematicians normally solve equations in their subconscious. So I agree. when you have a conflict in your subconscious, it could be you wish you were in a different gender, but it could also be that you are born to be a mathematician. Now, my question to you is, I'm not asking you to take sides, but my question to you is, when somebody grades the MMPI, do they have the option of deciding this guy wants to be a mathematician, or does the MMPI, does it always come to the same dead end, and it says, well, you must have a gender problem? So that's my question.
Okay, well, I'm not an MMPI expert, but I'm aware of it. I've, you know, read about it and looked at reports and so on. So, first of all, that's a very unusual, that's not standard MMPI procedure to wink and say something like that. So there's something funny going on there. And the MMPI is not like a probe your unconscious and find out your secret wish to be a little girl kind of measure. It doesn't do that. It's not used for that. The Rorschach, which is where you look at all those ink blots, that would be more likely a test where the person would be trying to probe your so-called unconscious. So it's a suspicious administration method. It's a misuse of it. And there's something odd going on there.
Okay, well,
the MMPI isn't for, you know, figuring out if somebody's a mathematician or what their secret unconscious conflicts are. So I would stay away from that guy.
Well, all right, but that's sort of like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I think it's perfectly normal to try to solve an equation, go jogging, and you come back and you've got the answer, and it seems like a normal way to live. Somebody said, how do you solve such difficult problems? And he said, by thinking unto them continually. So you see what I'm saying? Maybe it's some other, I don't have a memory of taking the Rorschach. I know what the inkblot test is, but people always say that to me. They say you have a conflict in your subconscious, and the only thing I can remember taking is the MMPI. I can't remember any other test, but I will file that away. And thank you, sir. Thanks for explaining that.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Joel. All righty, we will take some additional calls at 800-313-9443. Another question, and I believe this came out of the chat room, somebody said some articles have said that Jackie, and this is referring to Jackie Kennedy, mm-hmm. turned around after JFK had been shot in the neck and had a small handgun that blew out his brains. What is your thoughts on that? I mean, there's so many myths and rumors and things coming from that event.
Well, first of all, I've never heard that before. You'd think that would show on the Zapruder film.
Yes.
To me, that sounds very doubtful. I don't personally buy the lone shooter theory at all, but I don't buy that one either.
No. I don't think anybody does.
But, I mean, that's just my attitude.
Sure. All righty, we did have, okay, let's see. From your book, and as I said, the things in the appendix are just worth just so much, and the charts, it's just fabulous. You've done, this book is just a wonderful book.
Thank you.
Okay, could you talk about, let's see, Candy Jones.
Sure.
Oh, okay, we do have to take a quick break. We will be back in 3 minutes.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror, or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop six hits. But what about the seventh? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit. The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel body armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
In an emergency situation, would you drink contaminated water? You could if you had the amazing Life Straw from MyPatriotSupply.com. Life Straw is the most advanced personal water filter available today. It filters contaminated water from almost any source. Life Straw is lightweight and compact, perfect for hiking, camping, or in an emergency like a flood. Life Straw is easy to clean, comes with a one-year warranty, and has been used worldwide since 2005. Get the amazing Life Straw personal water filter at MyPatriotSupply.com. Plus, check out Survival Seed Vault, 20 seed varieties for only $37.95, Tattler canning lids, long-term storable foods as low as $69.95, and much more at MyPatriotSupply.com. Enjoy stress-free shipping on all orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927 or visit MyPatriotSupply.com. That's 866-229-0927, MyPatriotSupply.com. For emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence.
Freedom ain't free, but shooting is cheap. Knob Creek Gun Range. Shoot safe, pay less, have fun. Rifles, pistols, shotguns, cannons, what you got? We got a 350-yard outdoor range, plus other secret ranges we're not even supposed to talk about. Come to Knob Creek Gun Range in West Point, Kentucky, and celebrate diversity at our next shoot coming up on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Visit our website at knobcreekrange.com to find out more information on everyday activities or to get information on the October shoot on October 11th, 12th, and the 13th. Or call 502-922-4457. Again, that's 502-922-4457. Knob Creek Gun Range, where the Second Amendment comes first. Go to knobcreekrange.com today or just show up ready to fire at 690 Ritchie Lane, West Point, Kentucky, 40177. Call 502-922-4457.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Dr. Colin A. Ross, and we are talking about his wonderful book. It was originally called Bluebird, Deliberate Creation of Multiple Personality by Psychiatrists, and it is now issued under CIA Doctors. And this story about Candy Jones, I mean, her childhood is absolutely terrible. Why would parents do that? Ah, it's terrible.
Yeah, it's a good story. It's a mentoring candidate story. And actually, I can't believe nobody's made a movie of it, but there's an autobiography out, and the original articles were actually in Playboy magazine, which is probably one of the best pieces of journalism those guys ever did. So she was a very beautiful woman. She was a model during part of her career. She did troop entertainment in the Central Pacific during the Second World War. She came back, had her own modeling agency in New York, and ended up hooking up with a pretty famous, well-known radio announcer named Long John Nebel. And so they're married, and she was having kind of headaches and stomach complaints and different, you know, anxiety problems, etc. And he decided just to hypnotize her to see if he could help her with some of those symptoms. He's kind of an amateur hypnotist guy. And lo and behold, out comes this person named Arlene Grant, who starts telling a whole story about mind control. And so the Candy Jones story is, when you back up, there was a general involved, and Gene Tunney, the boxer, was involved. At any rate, she was recruited, hypnotically programmed, and used for career assignments, and then was used, I guess it was just mostly career assignments. And then she was in the Philippines on one assignment, and she was captured by somebody. It's not clear which side that person was working for, and a whole bunch of mind control and drug stuff was done to her. She got back to the United States. And then she had suicide programming that was kicking in, but somehow she overrode that and didn't commit suicide at a specific date, a specific location like she was supposed to. And this Arlene Grant described the CIA doctor who was the programmer and some of the techniques of the programming and so on. And when you go back to her childhood, Arlene Grant was an imaginary companion that she created along with several other imaginary companions due to a very neglectful, pretty harsh, cruel childhood, lonely, neglected. And so that's a capsule summary of her story. So it's an autobiography of a classical Manchurian candidate story.
And so it seems to be that type of child, vulnerable, alone, and both of her parents were just terrible, that would be a perfect candidate for making...
The idea is you want somebody who you can get access to, number one, who's vulnerable, has some sort of psychological vulnerability, and if possible, is already traumatized and dissociative and has either sort of beginnings of or actually created multiple personality already. So it's like the structure's already in place, and then you can add on the fancy programming.
Now,
that's the rationale.
Do you think that television is a vehicle for mass hypnotism?
I think it's a vehicle for mass disinformation and information control. The hypnotism part, kind of, sort of. I mean, people aren't getting up from their TVs and running out and acting like chickens all of a sudden. So when you say hypnosis, then that makes people go, nobody's hypnotizing me. But hypnosis is kind of a more day-to-day, day in and day out thing. So, like, I used to watch Wayne Gretzky play hockey when I was in Edmonton in medical school. And you could watch him go behind, no other player in hockey ever did this. And he had these two amazing linemen who were all NHL all-stars year after year. And he would go behind the net, and the other two forwards would be circling around out in front of the net. And you could see the opposing players. So these are all NHL, like, incredible athletes. They would just kind of freeze for 3, 4, 5 seconds and not know which way to go. Should I go after him this direction, or should I try and cover the forward, or what should I do? So I would say, in a sense, those guys were hypnotized by Wayne Gretzky. But, you know, he didn't pull out a pocket watch and hypnotize them.
Right.
So I think, you know, befuddling people and putting them in kind of trance states and influence them is a common part of life.
Okay, for instance, what about the radio program War of the Worlds? That was kind of a mass operation. And
mm-hmm.
then 9/11, would you consider that a good environment to hypnotize a lot of people into believing something? Because it was so trauma-ridden?
Well, look, I'm glad we've got just a couple of minutes left to get into 9/11 here. Kind of a big subject. But I don't have a final conclusion. My conclusion is not so much what I think did happen in 9/11. My whole thing, it's sort of like watching CSI on TV, like, follow the evidence. When you look at the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7, which was not hit by a plane at all, it had minor fires, significant but relatively minor fires on several floors. Many buildings built to that code around the world have had massive fires burning on multiple floors for hours. No building built to that code has ever collapsed from fire, except the three buildings that collapsed on that day. The original 9/11 report didn't even mention Building 7. And then when the National Institute of Standards and Technology issued a report, they said it was fire caused by diesel fuel kept in tanks inside the building for heating of the building. And then they changed that to the fire was office furniture burning. So a building that cannot architecturally collapse from office fires is supposed to have collapsed when this has never happened before, with much more severe fires. And Building 7 was rebuilt to the same code as the original building. Then we right. go to, so I mean, this is absurd. And then the NIST, National Institute of Standard and Technology, said that pillar 79 is the pillar that failed. It was in the corner of the building, causing the collapse of the building. And that happened because it wasn't tethered to the rest of the girders in the building.
What?
So the Freedom
of
Information
Act. What a bunch of misinformation.
Well, there's Freedom of Information Act request documents now, architectural documents showing that there are over 3,000 bolts connecting the pillar 79 to the rest of the building. And then Building 7 collapsed at a free fall rate, which was physically impossible for a substantial portion of the 7 seconds of a fall.
Sure.
And when you look at it, it just looks like a demolition collapse. And
but,
then when you go to...
It a good environment to... people were traumatized by seeing this. Was this a good environment in which to mind control or hypnotize people into believing something that isn't true?
Yeah, because there's the national trauma, and then there's just the incredulity of our government. You know, we're the Boy Scouts of America here. We don't do things like that. Our government couldn't do it. It can't be a false flag. It had to be the bad guys. And then, obviously, that leads to hiking up the war on terror, which leads to a lot of defense contractor profits, and on and on and on and on we go. So, yeah, that's a perfect way to mesmerize and control people and control what they think about what's going on.
Would you compare that to, say, the crash of 1929, where people were very traumatized and jumped out of windows and such?
I have never researched the crash of 1929 that much. It's a little different, though, because the people in 1929 weren't going to die if they didn't jump out the window.
Right.
So clearly the people, there's just raging fires, and they were just driven out of the building by the fire.
Sure.
That's a little bit different. But the effect on the populace could be similar, yeah.
Right, yeah, the traumatized population, right. Well, it's been very interesting having you on the program, and your book is fascinating. And this is so tell us, I know that The Great Psychiatry Scam, that has got to be a great book also.
Well, that's my funniest book. It's a very satirical attack on psychiatry combined with kind of an autobiography of myself.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. The Rape of Eve, does that have to do with sexual abuse?
It's the Three Faces of Eve story, the
true
story.
Okay, that's right. You mentioned that before.
Yeah, amazing exploitation and control by her psychiatrist. An amazing multi-million dollar profit.
Wow. Okay, well, thank you so very much, Dr.
Thanks again.
All righty, bye-bye. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.